Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
Ed Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell next to it. We're also available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to leave a rating or review on your iOS podcast app. That helps the show quite a bit. Another way you can contribute to the show financially is by going to patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have a wealth of rewards over there for you to enjoy. We've got 41. Why does it say only one person is watching this right now? We got a bunch of people watching our live stream right now, Larson, on the Patreon.
54.
Wow, 54 people. Nice. People want to hear our thoughts about AJ Styles.
I know. Oh, well, no. That's weird. What? I don't know why.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, so patreon.com/Steven Larson. If you guys like this, if you guys want to interact with us, we have pre-shows, we have post-shows. Today, we've got chat trivia.
Chat trivia.
During our post-show, where we somebody's going to win today's show notes.
Have we confirmed this is not the first Tournament of Champions?
No, we haven't. I've not done that.
Pull up the list.
I'm not going to do it right now.
Oh, okay.
Do it later when I want to do it.
Well, it shouldn't be because we need to advertise it in advance to make sure everybody who's eligible to be in the Tournament of Champions is, in fact, in the chat room.
Correct.
We can't have Tournament of Champions.
Correct.
Well, without people knowing that it's time for Tournament of Champions.
Yeah, I mean,
regardless, it's supposed to be the week or not, we're going to postpone it a week.
Yeah, the cool thing is it's our show. We can do what we want.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got to whip up like a cooler prize anyways. You got something to say, Boss Ballard.
She's the boss.
Demon Boss. We're also available at Pro Wrestling Tees. Look at that shirt right there. Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Hey. You're not me, but this shirt you can have you as a shirt on your body by going to prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw.
That shirt wouldn't be you. It would just be a garment. It's not your skin.
He doesn't say garment. Anyways. Yeah, so.
We're going to talk about SmackDown. Now, there's a lot of news, not just for the episode of SmackDown yesterday, but also there's other stories that broke this morning. That relating to SmackDown.
And last night, yeah, all sorts of stuff going on.
But we'll start with SmackDown itself, and we'll talk about the other stuff as applicable.
No, let's talk about the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn thing now.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of information about it. Apparently, they were sent home from the European tour. Pro Wrestling Sheet had the story pretty much right before we started.
Yeah.
There's some speculation, I think, from some of their sources, but they haven't been able
to
confirm.
They said two independent sources have said that it's for disciplinary reasons.
But they could not confirm with more information. So, unconfirmed disciplinary measures. But it's interesting.
It'll be... So, okay, they also broke last night that John Cena is the fifth member of Team SmackDown.
Oh, they did, really?
Oh, you didn't know about that?
No, I knew about it. I read this morning that WWE announced it, but I didn't know Pro Wrestling Sheet had anything about it.
No, I don't know. I'm not talking about Pro Wrestling
Sheet. Oh, okay. No, I heard about that this morning.
Shane McMahon had that.
Yeah.
ShaneMcMahon.com had that. That John Cena has been announced for the fifth member of Team SmackDown for Survivor Series, which changes the landscape of that match completely. So we're going to run that down a little bit today also. Depending on how WWE handles the Sami Zayn Kevin Owens thing, that could be a work.
Yeah, that was my first inclination.
You know, could be a work. That's just weird. How could two guys who,
as far as we know, during their time in WWE, have a perfectly clean record of
very
being professionals and company guys suddenly run afoul with corporate policy?
That just sounds like that. Yeah, that sounds like. And it's, my thing is, so lately they've just been. So the AJ gender title match, that was announced on Twitter.
Yeah.
Cena being added, that was announced on Twitter. It wouldn't surprise me if WWE started messing with the way that they release storyline info.
Could be.
And I wonder if this might be an experiment with messing with...
Could be.
You know?
Leaking information.
Leaking information, but it's like storyline information. And then, you know, the dirt sheets are going to be... That's why, look, that's the thing. I am not in a rush at all, although it'd be cool. I'm not in a rush at all to be a news outlet, a wrestling news outlet that has our sources. Our sources say this, our sources say that.
It's more fun for us to report on news other people have broken than to analyze it.
Because, A, when it's like, I mean, come on. Okay, so Pro Wrestling Sheet, who has a good record.
I
really like, I follow Ryan Satin on Twitter.
Oh, James McKenna.
McKenna, yeah, too. He's great too. They seem to have their sources in there. I think Satin's a former TMZ guy.
Yes.
So they, you know, they get scoops.
And McKenna is a former, used to work for WWE Creative.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, yeah. So, like, you know, leave that to those guys, you know? But, like, it's going to be very interesting to see how dirt sheets, if you will, you know, and I say that in a complimentary way, but how those news outlets will start handling info that comes down, because this doesn't seem like something they should be reporting on if it's storyline. You know what I mean?
Well, they might not know.
Right, exactly. So if it turns out that it's, if it's a storyline thing, they might start halting on, okay, well, hold on. We need to like double and triple analyze the news we get down. So, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Anyways.
Yeah, Cena being a member of Team SmackDown is going to change things a lot. It's kind of unexpected. We all thought that he was going to be the referee, based on the rumors and reports we've been hearing, that he's going to be the referee for the Lesnar-Mahal match.
Right.
That match isn't happening now.
Right.
Now it's Lesnar-AJ.
Yeah.
So if they want him involved in Survivor Series, he need to be involved in a match. And of course, first thing when I saw that announcement was like, okay, what storyline is this setting up for him in the future?
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about him being a ref because that had sort of the official poster had leaked. And that I'll put it this way before we start getting into the minutiae of SmackDown, because I think this is all very important stuff.
Yeah.
What is this? Like Cultaholic has info too. Anyways. It feels like with this AJ Styles winning the title off Jinder Mahal thing.
Keep talking.
What are you doing?
I didn't check the audio yet.
We have audio.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
People would have told us we didn't have audio. Anyways, with this AJ Styles winning the title off Jinder Mahal thing, I kind of get the feeling that they came up with the general plan for Survivor Series. And maybe, just maybe, the reaction to Finn Balor AJ Styles.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
To see how positive it was, and everybody referring to it as a dream match, which it totally was.
Yeah.
Maybe that got them thinking, whoa, hold on a second. We have all the pieces here for actual dream matches. Because as much as I actually like Jinder versus Brock as a possible match, AJ versus Brock, obviously, and you know, is a bigger match, is more of a dream match.
Yeah.
We get that now. The Shield versus the New Day
is a
complete and total dream match. Like, this is the time to do that. This is the exact time to do that.
And using that logic, I would not be surprised at all if Charlotte...
Charlotte's going to win.
And it's in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's in her hometown.
Charlotte is going to win next week. That is a freaking lock. Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss. Because who can win there? Charlotte can totally win there. And it's not a bad thing for Alexa Bliss.
And I thought maybe, you know, because going into the Survivor Series and they announced the initial card, I'm like, gosh, SmackDown's going to lose a lot of these. And maybe someone in creative said, you know, so many of these Raw wrestlers are protected. We can't have them lose to their SmackDown counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
We got to shuffle the deck here a little bit,
right?
To bring some parity to the proceedings,
right?
And if that's the logic behind it, then I'm 100% behind it, because no show should basically sweep the entire card.
You take, because here's the thing also, you take Charlotte out of Team SmackDown, you're protecting her. That's a good idea. You add Natalya to that, she can eat a pin.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So then you have Team Raw, the women's Team Raw, going over at Survivor Series. You have the men's Team SmackDown going over at Survivor Series. I would think the Shield are going to win over the New Day. The New Day can eat a pin.
Lesnar will win the AJ match, but I think Jinder's going to interfere.
Okay, and there you go. There's logic for AJ to lose, like, you know, without not looking too bad.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's our predictions. There you go.
Yeah.
What else is going to happen? Isn't, like, Enzo versus Kalisto?
Yeah.
God, can I boycott tomorrow's 205 Live
and
recap?
Then, if you want, I'll do it by myself. I mean, you can sit here, but you can be quiet.
That was I'm going to, yeah.
I haven't watched it yet.
I'm going to bring my own Drew Gulak sign.
Okay.
Free the UK division.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something.
You know, I sent you that thing about Pete Dunne taking on Johnny Gargano at TakeOver.
Yeah.
It's not televised. It's a dark match. those guys are going to put on a great match, and the only people who are going to see it are those in attendance. I don't understand it.
Are you serious?
Yep.
That's horrific.
It's a terrible idea.
That's like
you look like you're about to cry.
That's the worst info I've ever had in my life. That's the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
It's not true.
It's close. Let me ask you something. 205 Live.
Yeah.
Are we happy that it's doing so well in the ratings at this point?
I liked it better when it wasn't.
I mean, is it really 205 Live? Can they just rebrand it the Enzo Amore Show and then just be done with it?
Sure.
Because evidently Enzo Amore can bring that show up in the, like, he has proven.
Yeah.
He's done it. He's brought the ratings up at the expense of everything we love in life.
I know.
He went over Tyler Bate.
I heard.
We'll talk more about that tomorrow.
Or I will. You're going to boycott.
What's a good like visual for me boycotting that isn't self-immolation?
Yeah, that's taking things a bit
far.
Did
you try to watch that Vietnam doc again?
No, because I haven't checked out the app you recommended.
Yeah, try the app.
I have it set so whenever replays air, they'll record.
Man, I'll never get over that site, that dude putting himself on fire.
Oh, yeah, I saw that episode.
That's heavy stuff.
It really is.
Yeah, anyways. Moving on. I don't even have the notes up right now. So let's just get right into SmackDown, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Show kicked off in an interesting fashion. They had these highly produced kind of promos from AJ Styles and Jinder Mahal hyping the title match for the evening.
Okay.
I like that you're not getting your notes up. You're watching Cultaholic video.
Come on, Jack. Show me a friggin' still of who you're talking about. Let's see if I can hear.
Oh, my God.
He's talking about John Cena, the ref.
Let's stay on task. We can watch this when we're done.
Who's the former Impact star that he's set to sign, Jack? Anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anyways,
apologize, Larson.
These highly produced, edited, with B-roll of in-ring action promos between AJ and Jinder to hype the match. Opening package, graphic package,
yeah.
SmackDown Live TV. Show kicks off proper with a extended Shane McMahon promo. So he was again hyping up Survivor Series. Said he spoke to Daniel Bryan. He condemned the actions of Kane and Kurt Angle for allowing the attack on Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, but he was like straight up blaming them.
Yeah, he was. And he said that Daniel Bryan...
You can blame Kane. He did it.
Yeah, but he was blaming Kurt Angle.
He was saying Kurt orchestrated the entire thing.
That he was responsible, yes. Yeah. But he said that Daniel Bryan will be in good enough shape to return to television next week.
Right, yeah.
For the go-home show to Survivor Series. Next, Shane introduced the New Day.
Oh, Rockstar Spud. We reported on like, what the heck?
There's a new thing on PW Insider talking about that is imminent.
Talking about that we're right?
Well, it's not like we didn't break that news, report news from somebody else. We're not right. We're reporting on someone else's news. They were right.
I was really happy with the idea. WWE saw that and ran with it, and they said, Steve here is very happy.
Whatever
Sign spot!
Whatever website we sourced, we'll be happy to hear that their rumor is coming to fruition. Anyways, Shane McMahon.
Are people going to steal my thumbnails again?
Introduced the New Day, and they discussed the New Day's second siege on Raw and how they kind of did that on their own accord.
I really like the New Day's role in this there's two things that's kind of interesting about this. Well, there's one thing that's kind of interesting about it, but I really like the New Day's role as kind of like spearheading the under siege thing in terms of the roster, like the non-Shane thing, which is really villainous, but they're really into the role. It suits them perfectly because, you know, they at their best, they were tweeners.
Yes.
You know? Number two, isn't it kind of weird that it's not as if the people, I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of people in the audience who are pro SmackDown, who are there because like SmackDown.
Yeah.
But I think the vast majority of the people who are there just like WWE. It's like if you said, hey, Steve, a WWE show's coming to town. I'd say, really, which one? Does it matter? No, not really. I'll watch either one. I like both.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both fantastic.
Yeah,
they
I don't
both
know
have
if
their strengths and
in terms of audience members, there's much in the way of brand loyalty.
But when, right. That's my point. But whenever they're in the arena and Shane says, SmackDown is the A, I know I sound like Triple H because my Triple H is basically just me congested.
Yeah.
But Shane always sounds like he has a head cold.
Yeah.
He says,
here, hold your nose until it sounds nasally.
SmackDown Live. Oh, it bugs me. SmackDown Live, he says, is the show, not the B show.
Yeah.
And the crowd cheers for that. And then if something Raw happens, they boo for that if it's a SmackDown Live show. But then the night before on Raw.
Well, it's what you do.
People who shouldn't have any brand loyalty are booing SmackDown.
And cheering Raw. Yeah, it's what you should do.
I don't get it. I mean, I
they're just into the show, man.
Yeah, that's good. I'm just doesn't make any sense, though.
No, it doesn't, but that's fine. They're into the show.
Okay. You know, I never know what leaps of logic you're going to be okay with or you're going to be anti. Because sometimes
you're
anti.
Well, there's no logic there. You have to accept there's no logic and to say, okay, that's the nature of.
I know, but you've had a stick up your butt about like plenty of leaps in logic.
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting to me.
That one's so
you're a fascinating character
that
study.
That's such a mundane thing that I don't really
get your with. Oh, okay. So I'll write down that one. Doesn't
mundane.
Matter.
No, just
but then
relatively inconsequential.
But then the NWO helping Sting, that is consequential.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Okay, just making sure.
So the New Day said more or less that their purpose on Raw was just kind of stir the pot.
Mm-hmm.
That they had no intentions of necessarily costing Seth and Dean their tag team titles, but it happened, so that's cool.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn came out, and they were. Sami Zayn at one point said, you know, I kind of hope Raw wins.
Yeah, I loved it. It was great.
Because they were not, Sami Zayn was saying, you know, the reason Randy Orton's on the team is not because he beat me, it's because he gave me a low blow.
Yeah.
And that if he had done that, he would have been fined, suspended, or fired.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they're playing the victim card.
It didn't really help, though. That led into a Sami Zayn versus Kofi Kingston match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good match. Gave a lot of time.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good match.
This whole opening bit they gave. About a half hour between the promo and the match, which I like.
Yeah, it was chunky. It was good.
Decent back and forth between Sammy and Kofi. Kevin Owens didn't really get involved at all. So Kofi picked up the pin on Sammy after like a top rope cross body.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a surprise finish.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately when the bell rang, Kevin Owens got in the ring, started beating up on Kofi. New Day come in to make the save.
Was that the disciplinary? Did they take disciplinary action and send him back home for that?
No.
That's weird.
It's probably a work, man. It screams like it's a work. And then they won't be on SmackDown, and they'll show up unannounced on Survivor Series and cost SmackDown the match or something.
All right.
Like that.
All right. Breaking news here confirmed.
Speculation alert.
It's a work. All you dirt sheets have been worked because you're Marks. ProWrestlingMarks.com.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm joking. I like those people.
Yeah, they're good.
Dave Meltzer said, I'm working on it. Finding out right now. He said that on Twitter. Somebody asked
him. Oh,
he's
really?
Like, I'm working on finding out more. Dude, what are you talking about? You haven't had a scoop.
Next, Jinder Mahal backstage interview.
I'm working on it. What are you doing? Texting people, you know? What are you doing? Yeah, man, Jinder. Woo! Lose face. Yeah, lose face. Written all over him.
Yeah.
From every frame of film we saw in him last night.
And AJ had the infinite win face. When
he had the smoothest, most confident win face.
I felt like he could hardly contain his joy and jubilation.
Dude, it looked like he wanted to laugh.
Yeah.
It looked like he just wanted to joyfully laugh, like he's freaking Santa Claus or something. Yeah, no, it was great.
He was ecstatic.
Yeah. Jinder looked deflated, though.
Yep.
Anyways, yeah, there was zero confidence behind his eyes right there. Next up, we had a fantastic Randy Orton versus Rusev match. Man, I'm so flipping bummed out. I thought Rusev was going to make the team.
Oh, when he had a match against Randy Orton, I knew there was no chance.
Well, come on. He brings Aiden English out there with him. There's like something wonky can happen.
Nah.
There was a fifth member. Who else could it possibly have been?
Yeah, I didn't
and
know
don't
either.
Tell me you knew it was going to be John Cena. No, Rusev made sense, though, right?
Yeah, he did. But once I saw Orton was his opponent, I was like, that's not going to happen.
I was like, something wonky's going to happen. He's going to go over, and he'll have to be on the team, or he'll be on the team.
Well, the interesting thing is after this match, when they had the graphic of Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, there's a silhouette with a question mark in the middle for the mystery fifth member.
Was the silhouette going like this?
No, but it had looked like spiky hair. And I was like, okay, who on either Raw or SmackDown or NXT has spiked hair.
Yeah, I wonder who they used.
And I was like, I mean, that silhouette didn't look like Kevin Owens, but his hair is spiked.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So maybe they're going to get Kevin Owens involved somehow. But I was running down the NXT roster, Raw, SmackDown, seeing, you know, maybe Raw was going to turn on SmackDown.
Going in Raw, doing actual research. Larson's on it. He's not just sitting there texting Kevin Sullivan. Kevin Sullivan doesn't know anything about the inner workings of WWE these days.
Anymore.
What are you doing, Dave Meltzer? You can't be texting him for this info.
Are you sure he is?
I'm just joking, man.
But Aiden English sang an excellent tune before this match.
That was great.
Celebrating Rusev Day.
One of my favorite things during this, and a couple people on Twitter, because Twitter has that stupid new 280.
Yeah.
Which I actually like. I'm fairly verbose. Is that somebody did, they wrote down Rusev Day.
With all the Y's. And they showed it on the ticker.
That was good. Very clever people.
Good job taking advantage
The thing that I loved about this is that Rusev was going, he must have tried to pin Randy Orton like 20 times.
In the first minute and a half.
Yeah, because every time Randy Orton would go to the, would like bump, Rusev would hop on him and try to pin. And then when he kicked out, he'd try to pin him again and try to pin him again.
Sound strategy.
However, this ended with something called an RKO. What is an RKO? What is that?
I think it's just Randy Orton's initials.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's Randy Orton's version of the cutter.
Yeah.
Some of you may not know that.
Yeah. It's, in my estimation, the greatest version of the cutter. Because I can't believe
you say that over the stunner. That's so ridiculous. I had to be careful with that. I wasn't going to say that word. Ridiculous.
Stunner's more iconic, but I think the RKO is more versatile in my estimation.
You're so close to putting me on timeout right now.
You really are. You can go sit in the corner.
Kind of already there. Yeah, I got to go to the new set?
No mic. 2 minutes. Silent. All the way. Next. James Ellsworth was pacing outside the women's locker room. Tamina comes out and I think asks him, what do you want? He wants to talk to Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I like this part.
No talking. There's some back and forth, and he is being a complete chauvinistic jerk. And Becky's like, no, I'm going to beat you. Don't worry about it. All right, you can come back in.
Asuka's my new proxy.
You can come back in. Yeah, Becky Lynch is like, you're a jerk. I'm going to beat you.
I'm back.
He's back.
What's your take on this? I loved this. I love the actual match itself. I heard there were some people on Twitter. I'm not even sure where I necessarily fall on this, but I think I know. I'm interested to get your thoughts.
Okay.
There are some people who love intergender wrestling. I understand the WWE's point on it, although this was much more of a match than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And some people were criticizing this on Twitter, saying, and I understand this point, saying that Ellsworth versus Becky Lynch is a joke. They've basically, and some people take offense to it, and I don't because I find comedy in it. They always refer to James Ellsworth as not a real man, not an actual man.
Well, and Becky said that, you know, essentially said that he had no testicles.
Right, exactly. And it was a great burn. I love Becky Lynch.
Yeah, she's great.
And this was essentially, and what it was a comedy match.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that, oh, intergender matches can only be comedy matches in the world of the WWE is, to the to these wrestling fans out there who think this, it's offensive to their sensibilities as wrestling fans.
Okay.
I understand that point. But if you take that idea to its logical conclusion, then you have. Did you see that it was going around Twitter? I think a couple of people sent it to us. It was a video of Minoru Suzuki and Asuka in a match where he was brutalizing her. I don't want to see that in the WWE. I was uncomfortable watching that.
I was honestly surprised they had James Ellsworth shove Becky Lynch twice in this match.
That was kind of dark.
I thought they were just going to stick strictly to wrestling moves.
I mean, I get that it's a comedy match, but. He did that, and I was like, oh, and the whole crowd was like, whoa.
Yeah, that surprised me.
That was a bit more than I thought they were going to do, which I was totally fine in that unique situation. But, I don't want to see Baron Corbin shoving around Natalia.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, God forbid, punching her in the face.
Yeah.
That's not entertaining to me.
No.
I don't want to see that stuff.
No.
And so, I don't know. Like, I get the point of, well, it's wrestling. It's a work, and in that universe, you should be able to see women kind of on the same level as men, but at the same time, there's some really uncomfortable connotations that go along with that, and I kind of get why the WWE would be very hesitant to go there.
That's why I thought when this match was announced, beyond the surprise, because Triple H had said for the longest time that no intergender wrestling.
And he was adamant about it. It was like a non-starter fan.
Yeah, that I thought for sure, okay, this is just going to be a wrestling match, wrestling holds, wrestling moves. We're not going to see any close fists.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't think we'd see any pushing either.
Milk Queen here in the chat says she asked Minoru Suzuki to go stiff on her. And that's totally... I'm sure that he didn't do anything, that they didn't do anything that she was uncomfortable with. I mean, she seems like a tough cookie.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't want to see it. That freaks me out.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
If you're okay with it, it doesn't matter in terms of like what I enjoy seeing.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy seeing that.
Asuka did a lot of intergender wrestling in Japan.
I don't know much about that, so that's not surprising. I mean, mm-mm. Watching that, it doesn't surprise me at this point.
Yeah.
Because she seemed pretty into it.
Yeah.
But that's tough stuff right there, man.
This match, Ellsworth and Becky Lynch, the whole women's division, minus Natalya,
mm-hmm.
surrounds the ring. It was booked more or less as a comedy match.
Mm-hmm.
Until Ellsworth pushes Becky twice, second time completely out of the ring. Then Becky responds with a missile drop kick off the top rope. After that, Ellsworth tries to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then the women's division, again, minus Natalya, blocks the ramp so he can't get up. He gets back in the ring. Gets on his knees, starts repenting, kissing her hand, gets up, hugs her.
It was so funny because it was so awkward and weird because he would like take one hand and kiss it and then the other one. And then he went to hug her.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good. It was a sloppy, awkward comedy match. There was that moment where he shoved her and it was like, ooh. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. It's
nice to see Ellsworth get his comeuppance for costing her money.
Right,
in the bank.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I thought it was good.
After the match, after Becky makes Ellsworth tap out to the disarmer, Becky and Carmella are kind of arguing in the middle of the ring,
mm-hmm.
and then Carmella super kicks Ellsworth.
Yeah.
So apparently they're done again.
Well, there's no way they're breaking them up right now. I mean, she kissed him and then hit him that one time.
Yeah.
He's just going to keep on being her dog.
Yeah, probably.
You know? Which is fine. I really enjoy James Ellsworth's work. I think he adds a lot. I think him and Carmella, I think they're a great team together. So I want to see them keep going on. We'll just, you know, I think that was more her just laying him out for being who he is.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
punctuation to the end of the match.
But I think she understands that he's in it storyline wise, all that. He's an asset to her.
Yeah.
Next up, we had Charlotte and Shane McMahon backstage. Natalya rolls up and says, what did she say? She said, I'm going to beat Alexa Bliss, and then you should put me in the SmackDown women's match, too.
She said, not only am I going to compete and beat Alexa Bliss, I could take Charlotte's place in the Survivor Series match, too.
Yeah. Is that real?
I don't know. I'm doing some research.
Next up, we had... So this was the actual title match, right? The Chad Gable, yes. Shelton Benjamin. They need a name.
I agree.
Give them a name.
Their music's decent.
Give them a name.
Yeah.
No, give them a name.
Oh.
Winds of Change. You think we'll get botted if I go...
Just don't do any more of that. Usually it's 3 seconds. And yet you press on. You do it to annoy me, but it's going to cost us money, and that's really going to annoy me. I'm here trying to think
you
of
think
a name.
You think we get bothered when you're like interrupting the whistle part?
I don't know. They're pretty sophisticated, man.
I know. Man, they're always doling out yellows, man. Anyway, think of a name. Other good song names.
I'm having a hard time of getting off something centered around gold because Shelton Benjamin was the gold standard.
Oh, yeah.
And he still has gold trim on his gear.
Yeah.
So that's stuck in my head.
Is there a good cereal with gold in the title?
Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams. Whoa, that's good. Where do the Grahams fit in, though?
Oh, with them, it doesn't. The cereal makes sense because it's based on graham crackers.
Chad Gable's a cracker. Sorry. I'm sorry. Ooh. Sorry, man. You set me up. What was I supposed to do? Just let that one go by? All right. Anyways, so, Jey Uso. Did you find out? Is he hurt or not?
I haven't found anything. For sure, there's a spot where Jey Uso is on the outside. Gable comes up from behind. Chop blocks him. Looks like he might have got his ankle caught under him as he fell.
Yeah.
He tried to stand up. Couldn't. And just took a count out loss.
Mm-hmm.
So if that was scripted, that was really good.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was. Hopefully it's just a twisted ankle.
Yeah.
And he'd be fine for Survivor Series.
Yeah.
But if not, that's going to – I don't know what they're going to do about that match then.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, the good thing is because of the change with a lot of that stuff, like they've opened up the floodgates in terms of change. Like they can – it wouldn't surprise me if the morning of Survivor Series we had another change.
Could be.
You know? So I don't know. I think it's fine. Next up, we had an AJ Styles interview where he looked confident as ever. That was going to happen. He basically, I mean, it's sort of a standard AJ Styles type thing, you know. He said, "This is the house that AJ Styles built."
Yeah.
Blah blah blah. But it did. There was some extra stank.
Yeah,
on
I feel
it.
Like there's two speeds with AJ promos. There's one where it's just midst of storyline, then two when he's really into it, probably when he knows he's going to win something.
Yeah.
And he really brings it.
Yeah. Next up, we had the actual main event, which is AJ Styles versus Jinder Mahal.
Best match Jinder Mahal has had since he's been a champion, without a doubt.
I was thinking this before the match. I was like, if anybody, I thought about that. I was like, this is going to be, I guarantee, this is going to be the best Jinder Mahal match we will ever see.
Probably.
And sure enough, it was the best Jinder Mahal match we ever saw.
You know, I think the major difference is that AJ just sells really well. And sells dramatically.
It's the build. It's dude. It's,
no, it's part of it. I'm just saying. I've never watched a Jinder match where I felt like his moves really were powerful.
You're right. It's not just like the Dolph Ziggler. I go to this a million times. It's just not the cartoony selling.
No.
It's AJ. There was a couple things even in this match that I had not seen from AJ Styles before.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There was one thing that Jinder did.
Well, that time where Jinder was stomping AJ against the ropes, and then like the fourth time, AJ just stuck his feet up as Jinder was coming down with the kick and kicked him in the face.
Yeah. There was another one where Jinder, man, AJ was kind of on the ground, and then Jinder ended up like throwing him back on the ground. I forget what it was, but I was like, oh man, he's bringing out new things here. He's remarkable.
Yeah,
he's absolutely remarkable. He's phenomenal.
He's pretty much the best. One of the best. But it was a really entertaining match. A lot of good back and forth. And yeah, there's drama and build to it. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's a part of it. But I think it's just AJ's selling ability.
Yeah.
And like Orton can sell. Nakamura is a good seller.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This felt like the build. But the drama of each move, even just move by move,
mm-hmm.
it's felt more important.
Yeah.
So.
No, it did. And the build was there. Everything you said is correct, but I remember distinctly. And because I was sort of in my head, I was what was I thinking? I was thinking of something we talked about recently. Oh god, I'm sorry. I was thinking about Bound for Glory.
Oh, why?
Because the main event didn't we sort of take this for granted in the WWE. But all the wrestlers there know how to build a match so that by the end, and I mean, I know it's AJ Styles, but we get this match after match. They know how to build matches to a crescendo, which is such an underrated thing that wrestlers in the WWE know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of take it for granted.
Yeah.
But then when I go and watch Bound for Glory and I see, and I like Eli Drake and I like Johnny Mundo, but like the build just wasn't there. The OVE, and I like OVE versus LAX match, it was sort of like spot, spot, spot. And I think that's the difference between what people call a spot fest. And the Young Bucks get unfairly saddled just being a spot fest tag team.
Yeah.
Because it's not with them spot, spot, spot. It builds to a crescendo and you have the crowd into it like, oh my God, something can happen here. And I'm granted, there was the added bonus of, I think a lot of the people in that arena understood that he could totally win this because the way they came to this match was so abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
What did I say last time? When something's wonky in how they set it up, when there's a sudden change, that means, okay, well, that's happening. Something's happening here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but the build was fantastic here.
It
was
really great. So the finish saw AJ hit a 450 on Mahal,
mm-hmm.
And the Singh brothers pull Jinder out of the ring so he can't get pinned.
Mm-hmm.
AJ chases after the Singh brothers and lays each of them out.
Mm-hmm.
He sprints after, I can't remember which one, towards the barricade
Yeah,
and lays them out. gets back in the ring. Mahal hits a cloth. Too close to the ropes, though, because AJ puts a foot on it.
Yeah.
Ref notices it, too.
Yeah.
Jinder sets AJ up for like a super coloss up on the second rope.
Yeah. I loved how awkward that was starting to look, too.
I know,
because
I know.
It looked like it was going to be really, really like scary.
And then AJ reverses into like a stunner across the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on the apron, hits phenomenal forearm, pins new champion.
Yeah, crowd goes crazy. That crowd was hot for that.
Well, it's the first time they said on a telecast that the world titles changed hands outside of North America.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah, I didn't even think about that one.
And then Jinder takes his frustrations out in the Singh brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
He was just starting throwing them around. How happy are the Singh brothers now that they don't have to get manhandled, tentatively anyway, seemingly?
By Brock Lesnar, yeah.
By Brock Lesnar. They have
probably
be really happy about that. I bet they slept really good last night.
I'd
be freaked out
if I
knew.
I would be too. I mean, they took a pretty solid beating from Randy Orton.
Yeah, I know. And Randy's safe.
Yeah.
Randy, like, is concerned. That one time, I'll never forget that time he suplexed.
I'll just sideplexed him through the announce table.
He
did that.
And he went back.
I know.
And checked on him.
I know. Lesnar wouldn't do that.
He'd laugh and he'd be purple. Anyways, let's see here. Questions.
Question time.
Time to take questions.
North Texas Haas Patrick Beals. Do you all see Charlotte taking the women's championship from Natalya and then Paige taking Charlotte's place during the women's Survivor Series match? Entirely possible, but I would suspect they would just swap Charlotte and Natalya at that point.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. Because I still think that Paige is going to be protected for a little while when she comes back, and Team Raw is going to go. You can't have two people who have to be super protected.
Yeah. The cat, Daryl Takahashi, what are the chances AJ keeps the title till Mania? No. This is what's going to happen, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So they already said, they made it pretty clear last night.
You think they're going to put it
back
on? That
AJ was going to face Brock.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a couple matches announced for SmackDown next week, none of which are a rematch for the WWE title. So I think we're going to get AJ versus Brock, and then I feel pretty confident that Jinder is going to pick up that title again in India during that tour, sort of like how we were all surprised when Samoa Joe beat Nakamura for the title at NXT TakeOver Toronto, I believe, only for Nakamura to win it back during the subsequent tour of Japan.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. And then at Clash of Champions, which is about 2 weeks after the tour of India, AJ can get it back. And then from there, I think AJ will probably carry it through Mania. Because if they're not going to do Cena as ref for the champion versus champion match, I don't mean they could still hypothetically set up a match between him and Jinder, but I'd be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of have a feeling that AJ is going to be the champ through the first 4 months of 2018.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I don't think there's a chance at all that Jinder is going to get it back before Survivor Series, though.
No.
Yeah, this is going to be AJ Brock. This is the plan right now.
Yeah. And I think they'll use the fact that Jinder didn't get that match. Like, I think it'd be great at Survivor Series. He comes in. There's a ref bump. He comes in. He gives AJ a coloss.
Mm-hmm.
There's a stare down between him and Lesnar. And he gets a shot, and Lesnar gets a coloss off.
Mm-hmm.
And then either puts Lesnar on top of AJ or just leaves the ring.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I think that'd be good. It'd be great for Jinder to get that moment at least.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with that completely. Welcome Minato has a sort of a follow-up question. What now generally for Jinder? Now that we know the title isn't going to be on him through WrestleMania, which I agree with you. I don't think it is. Where does he go from here? I think they still need to book him strong as a strong heel.
Yeah.
I don't think the book, if you will, is closed on Jinder Mahal.
No.
No.
I don't think so either.
I think there's a lot they can do with him.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Interview bot Jose GGR. Who would you say has been most misused over this past year? Bailey, Luke Harper, or the UK guys?
That's a stiff competition there.
Well, I would take Bailey out of the equation. She was champion. Luke Harper. Luke Harper.
Yeah.
Luke Harper.
The UK division has been on TV more than Luke Harper has been.
Yeah, there's that.
Well, there was that whole storyline at the beginning of the year where it seemed like they were going to put Luke Harper, have him be involved somehow in the Orton-Wyatt feud at Mania, which they should have done. It would have been awesome if they had made it a triple threat and have him involved just in terms of storyline.
At least with the UK guys, you know, if you're optimistic, you could say the WWE is waiting for the right venue, the right platform for them.
That is optimism.
They're not... Right. I mean, I think it's probably more obvious.
Or optimistic
assessment.
Yeah.
I think it's probably more obvious that they just don't know what they want to do. But at least they didn't rush into something and mess it up.
Yeah.
Although I'm saying this less than 24 hours after Enzo Amore cleanly pinned the former UK champion Tyler
Bate. 24 hours after they announced the United Kingdom title defense as a dark match.
Yeah. But the answer is Luke Harper.
Yeah.
If he is as good as everybody says he is.
But at least he parlayed what little TV time he had into a role on Damnation.
Yeah, man.
And he looked like he did great work.
I know.
Based on the couple lines.
He needs to be a regular on that show.
Agreed.
I want to watch that show. It looks good.
Yeah, I'm interested. Brock without the K, Lesnar, do you think last night's intergender match opened doors for more in the future in the WWE? I don't know. I mean, this is speculative.
Very unique situation.
Ellsworth thing has been brewing for a long time, not just on TV, but on social media and stuff.
Let me ask you something.
What?
The only way I could possibly see it as a regular occurrence would be, and go with me here, if they altered the rules of the 205 Live division to ban any and all
strikes,
close fist strikes, at least. You know what I mean? Like, this is for mat wrestling and high-flying moves, which is but never going to happen. But they would have to make an alteration to the rules.
Yeah.
And at that point, if you keep it to, you know, cruiserweights exclusively, if you have, like, you know, a really good high-flying women's wrestler, add her to 205 Live.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you saw what Selena Vega was doing with the Hunikanrana thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of wrestling.
Yeah.
Toss them in there. I could see that as a maybe.
Yeah.
For like the moves and stuff, but you couldn't be throwing punches on people. But that's never going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
You know, that's the only way I could see it happening.
Karen, with the Raw's women's team having Asuka and Nia, how could you book SmackDown's women's team to win? CM Punk finds insulting, gets it partially right. Asuka would have to get counted out, or like be brawling with somebody. She has to be brawling with somebody out in the crowd.
She has to be destroying somebody, yeah, and be in such a bloodlust of violence
that she gets counted out.
Yeah, exactly.
Nia, I mean, we've seen from various multi women matches that when everybody just teams up on Nia, that she can be pinned.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the easier one to work around.
Yeah, just for
huge
sure.
Brawl. Mm-hmm. Asuka gets swept up in some action far away from the ring. Multiple SmackDown team members team up on Nia Jax and eliminate her.
What a great question here from that guy. You think the guest ref for Styles versus Lesnar will be the returning Earl Hebner?
That'd be funny.
You think Earl's going to come back?
Nah.
No, I don't think so. They have their refs, and they're really good doing what they're doing.
Yeah. CM Punk finds it insulting. Is the WWE title match at Mania now AJ versus Cena or AJ versus Shinsuke? I would hope it'd be the latter.
It has to be AJ Shinsuke. But they also have to start building up Shinsuke a bit more than they have.
I know.
That's for sure.
This is interesting.
Go ahead.
Eddie Jose Glorious Menavar, does the fact that John Cena was basically given the last spot in the SmackDown team show that Kevin Owens and Sammy are right about their claims of things being unfair for them? Maybe they saw that, they protested, and were sent home as a disciplinary measure.
That could be.
Kayfabe.
Kayfabe. It's all kayfabe. Mr. Sinister. Even though spoilers were out on the outcome of SmackDown, how loud did you guys mark out on AJ's victory? Mine was pretty muted, actually.
I smiled.
Yeah. Mine was pretty muted. I marked out more for did you see any of 205 Live yet? Okay. At the beginning, there's a mark-out moment with Tyler Bate and Enzo. It's really cool. I marked out
more. But
then
they subsequently submarined it by having Tyler Bate job out.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah. But he got to do the, what do you call it, bop and bam?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Something like that. He got to do that on Enzo. It was pretty cool.
That's cool. The beardless Bludgeon Brother, Lonnie Eaton.
Bludgeon Brother!
How well could Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens elevate the tag division on SmackDown almost the way that Rollins and Ambrose did on Raw? I think the SmackDown tag division doesn't need any elevating. I think the Usos and New Day did all that elevating on their own.
Well, they elevated the Usos.
Yeah.
Who else? You know, the division is one thing. Who else did they elevate? I'll put it this way. If you put another tag team in there like Owens and Sami Zayn.
Oh, it's not going to hurt matter. Then, yeah, I agree.
Then you have, you know, that's three huge main event level tag teams.
Oh, right, agreed. There. I think it provides some quality depth, but I don't necessarily know if it elevates it from the doldrums it was 6 months ago.
Sure it does.
Tommy T. Hafer knows, have the random whims of events positively influenced Survivor Series in your opinion? Hopefully, I agree with you. I think it's a situation where they saw what happened with having to kind of remake the TLC card on the fly and see that not only was the popular opinion positive, but also I think the outcomes of the matches were positive. And maybe they thought, okay, maybe we should keep things a little more unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give it a try.
I think, yeah, and to be honest, I like that. I think that's fantastic. I think it's great that they would say, hey, you know what? It might look a little weird for us to be shuffling the decks after we've already announced it, but let's put on, if we know we can do something better, let's do it.
Well, it makes their product seem more vibrant, a living thing, as opposed to something that's kind of boring. Predetermined and boring.
Dumb. Oh, great question. James Rodriguez. In terms of kayfabe, why is Corey Graves... Kayfabe. Big events. Why is Corey Graves such a huge mark for Aiden English, but cannot stand Elias Sampson? Does he have a troubled past with guitarists, or does he have a huge appreciation for opera?
Well, I know in NXT, because I know both Corey Graves and Elias are from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And so Corey Graves would bring that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
while
yeah.
running down the Drifter.
Yeah, yeah.
But beyond that, I don't know why.
Well, kayfabe, I would just suggest that, you know, because of what you just said, maybe he just knew guys like that. You know, sometimes you can just see a guy and you're like, man, I know guys like that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just annoying. And then he comes out there and he starts, you know, singing. And it's like, Corey Graves used to be vicious.
Oh, yeah.
He used to be vicious with Elias.
Yeah, he's really toned down some of that
stuff. So I'm thinking he just knew somebody that was like that. Yeah. But now it's the great thing now is that, you know, you used to have Tom Phillips who just would really, who just sort of chuckle at it. Now you got Booker T and Michael Cole. It's so good.
It's great.
Booker T, when they were on Raw, when they were talking about when they cut away from Jason Jordan accepting the gig from Kurt Angle to be on Team Raw, and they're standing there in front of camera, and Booker T is like beside himself. I think he like threw a piece of paper or something.
Yeah. You know what I like about Michael Cole's reaction to Elias is that more often than not, he'll make some sort of Springsteen reference.
I know, it's great.
And
it just
dates him. It makes him look so old, but it cracks me up because I guess I'm old. I get a lot of the references.
No, it's awesome. No, it's fantastic.
Talking about Niels Lofgren or the Hammersmith Odeon in 75, something like that. It's all Springsteen references.
James the Freak Phillips. How many hours before the show did Vince decide to give AJ the title? When did they announce it? Because it was announced the day before, wasn't it? Or a couple days before?
It was the weekend, I thought.
Yeah, it was a couple days. It was a little while before.
Yeah.
So whenever it was announced.
They decided, yeah. Fat Bastard Champ Alex Foster, what show of yours is the most fun to film? I thought it'd be non-news since you guys either seem the most relaxed or want to kill each other. Non-news is the one I care least about.
Whoa. Wow, really?
That's not true.
That's my baby. Which reminds me, we have to do that this week.
I think it's probably Matt Chat right
It's Matt Chat at this point. It's Matt Chat. Because it challenges our brains a little bit, like... We're sometimes forced to take on positions that we don't really believe, but we're still trying to come up with a creative way to, you know, give those reasons. And these days, you know, thanks to our lovely patrons, we get plenty of questions to make it go by pretty quickly. So, it's matching. And plus, on top of that, once I take it from you, and create the final form Matt chat.
Here's the thing. We have to have a conversation before any of that happens.
I'm going
to
be very excited about it. Look, do you trust me?
It's not a matter of trust.
Do you trust me?
It's not a matter of trust.
It is all a matter of trust.
It's a matter of trust. This is a partnership. I want to be involved in this partnership.
Creative trust.
That's the thing.
Do you trust me?
But there's also a partnership, and partnership is more than...
Give me Matt chat.
No.
Just a straight no?
No.
What is our partnership? Didn't we have to submit a partnership agreement? What does that say in terms of if there's a difference of opinion?
Arbitration.
From who?
An arbitrator.
Who? Name him.
Well, we have to go find one.
I can't.
Well, then you must do my bidding.
Who will be our arbitrator?
Nicholas.
We'll find out. Hey, whoever is given the most money on Patreon, above all,
Okay.
Whoever's the biggest money putter inner guy.
All right. Will be the arbitrator, whether they're trained to be an arbitrator or not.
Yeah.
Nicholas Grosskirth.
Apparently, Ryan Satin said, not a work, people.
Oh, all right.
Ryan, breaking news. That's breaking from Karen in chat from Ryan Satin.
Gotcha. Everyone I've heard from today says AJ has no chance against Brock. Does AJ have a Goldberg chance of winning in Houston?
Well, I thought Jinder had a Goldberg chance against Brock. I don't think AJ has a Goldberg
chance.
No,
I think it's going to be a match where AJ is going to be overpowered. They already kind of set that up last night.
Is he going to not be able to kick out of one F5?
Well, I think he's going to take a Koloss before that.
You think so?
Yeah. Ginger's going to get involved.
All right.
I'm pretty convinced of that. All right, let's do trivia.
Time for trivia.
Time for trivia. Today, for those sticking around, our patrons, for chat trivia, the categories will be Classic and Attitude Era.
Okay.
I have the cards right here.
So bone up on your Classic and Attitude Era.
Yes.
Do we know what to... Oh, hey, give me the thing. Give me the cards. Because I'm going to announce what the prize is going to be. In addition to signed, autographed show notes from today's Daily Show where we talk about Austin Aries, you're going to also get an autographed card of...
Produce it.
Oh, we'll do this one. I always like this because it's an actual piece of mat. This is big, Tom.
Yeah, it's thick.
It's thick. Carmella and a chunk of NXT TakeOver England, London mat with it. We're going to autograph. It's autographed by Steven Larson. It's going to be autographed.
Sure.
But by Steven Larson.
All right, are you ready? Start with Classic.
Classic.
What former baseball player and announcer was a guest interview at WrestleMania 3 and 4 and was famously choked by Andre the Giant?
Euchre.
Yeah.
Was it Bob Euchre?
Yes.
Yeah. What sitcom was he on?
Oh, shoot. I can't remember.
Really? Wesley.
Mr. Belvedere. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Come on now. Although not an official participant in the Royal Rumble match, what freakishly tall competitor eliminated Undertaker from the 1993 Rumble? Very good.
Who defeated Shawn Michaels for the WWE Championship at Survivor Series 96?
Who defeated Shawn Michaels for the WWE Championship at Survivor Series 96?
Yep.
Bret Hart.
Sid.
Sid! I knew! That was my first answer. I was going to say Sid.
It's not Bret Hart, Sid.
It's Sid. Championships. What was the name of the tag team made up by Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson?
Wait, don't... Did you do... Oh, is this Championships?
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, Soul Patrol.
Yeah.
Superstar Bio.
Superstar Bio.
Who initially served as Bam Bam Bigelow's manager when he debuted with the WWE in 1987?
DiBiase?
Oliver Humperdinck.
That was weak. Superstar Bio.
Superstar Bio.
Is this Classic? Who pulled the gun on Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Oh, that's Pillman. We're on to Attitude now.
I look like a jerk right now.
What tag team did Undertaker face in a Concrete Crypt handicap match at the Great American Bash 2004?
What kind of match was it?
Concrete Crypt handicap match. So the tag team against the Undertaker.
Undertaker. Big Show and Kane.
Dudley Boys. Oh.
This is stupid. This episode's dumb. What former member of the Four Horsemen tried to assist Ric Flair in his match against The Undertaker?
Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
Who defeated The Rock for the WWE Championship at No Mercy 2000, his first reign as WWE Champion?
Triple H.
Kurt Angle.
Oh, crap. What former five-time WCW Cruiserweight Champion secured his first WWE reign with the title by beating Matt Hardy in June of 2003?
Mysterio?
Yes.
What WWE superstar went by the nickname Captain Charisma?
Christian.
Yes. So you got two.
What one-legged superstar competed in the WWE?
Oh, what's his name? Zach Pruder?
Zach Gowen.
Oh, I got Daniel Pooter and
at least I got you. I only kept you to three.
Yeah. Sting.
What a terrible performance I get today.
Molly Holly.
Mm-hmm.
Maven.
Big events. Big events Maven. That's what they used to call him. All right. Anyways, that's it for the show. Here's some music for you. Out. Audio. There we go. All right. Great. That's some good audio we got going there, I'm assuming. Anyways, that's it for the show. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.